The Angry Chicken Hearthstone podcast is produced by Amove.tv. Check out Amove.tv for more podcasts covering Blizzard games. For more of Jocelyn's gaming podcasts, visit JossPlays.com. And to find many more podcasts with Ridiculous Hat, follow at Ridiculous Hat on Twitter. Every episode of TAC is made possible thanks to our legendary patrons over at patreon.com/TAC.
Time's up. Let's do this. You beast, Deroxys. You smell like a leper gnome.
I knew it.
So hot.
A podcast about Hearthstone and Battlegrounds. This is The Angry Chicken.
Greetings and welcome back, everybody. It's TAC O'Clock. I'm Garrett Weinzerl here with the returning Jocelyn Carney.
Hello, everyone.
You're back.
I am back. And thank you, everybody. I got a lot of messages. I read them all. I saw them all. I did not respond to them all. But thanks, everybody. It's been a really difficult couple of weeks. And that's all I'm going to say. But I'm happy to be back.
We're glad to have you back. And to talk about a difficult week in Hearthstone? Question mark?
It seems like. I mean,
depends on who you are.
I saw drama.
Oh, you saw drama around a... Hey, everyone, you could cut this out and place it in any expansion release or any patch release episode. New Hearthstone stuff comes out and there's drama, y'all. What are we talking about? What episode? Could you pinpoint a point in Hearthstone's history when this would be more relevant than another? I bet you can't. But what if I started talking about an owl or a trog? Actually, if I say a trog, that actually doesn't narrow it down too much. So I should probably stick with the owl.
I saw everybody talking about trogs this last week, and I'm like, what year is this?
I was playing the deck and it took me a second to be like, I didn't really think about Trog as the backbone, but they're not wrong. It's somewhat important. Also here, and trying not to talk, I guess, as if when I introduce you, you've come into being and you can't just join at any time, is Ridiculous Hat.
You were talking about Trogs and Owls and it seemed important, so I didn't want to get in the way. I'm not a Trog or an Owl.
Are you a Trowel?
No, I'm a hat.
Okay.
Hello.
That checks out.
The difficult part of this week has been not playing Hearthstone because I want to do that and not other things like sleep and work and mostly those two.
I mean, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Do you want to hear the dumb thing I did?
Absolutely.
All right, y'all. I strap in for a first. I've never done this before. I kind of forgot to pre-order.
But when you pre-order, you get cards. And when you get cards, you play Hearthstone. And we need to do that because we have a Hearthstone show.
Yeah.
I will say, I mean, like, Garrett, as much as I'm laughing, I remember to pre-order legit, like, the morning of.
I'm not alone.
No, I got there. I remembered, but yeah.
And so I've pre-ordered everything ever.
Yeah, since they've had pre-order bundles, right?
Since the dawn of time.
Yeah.
So it kept popping to my brain, and I'm like, I'll get to it eventually, and I've had a very busy year. I'm back in school now, getting a master's. And this semester whooped my butt. It was really hard. Still waiting on my final exams, but I've got a 99 in one class and a 98 in the other. So,
sounds super hard.
Yeah. I care suddenly. I didn't care. I was like a low B student my whole life. And now I'm an adult and I care. A lot of things going on. That was just one of the many things going on. So I just sort of forgot. I was like, I'll get to it eventually. And then suddenly it was out and I was like, oh shit.
Don't think you could pre-order after release.
Then it would just be an order.
Order. Yeah.
It'd be a post order. Yeah. Maybe a post order. And so I was like, well, crap. And I was crushed under this feeling of lost value, being like, well, any money I spend now will be way worse than what I could have spent before. This is the pits. And so I was like, well, Warrior looks like it's still doing fine. I'll just play that. So I've only, I am sitting on a Smaug level of gold right now, just a big fat pile of dragon gold. So I did just, I put in one order for 50 packs, and was bored of opening packs by the end of it. Please give us an open all packs button.
Yeah, and so since I've stopped doing the streams, I'm definitely just spamming space all the way through my pack openings.
Yeah, I'm glad that came up on a Nick. It was an XR. We covered it last week, right, Hat? Mm-hmm. With the gonna bring it up, not promising any of these features list.
It was emphasized at the beginning, middle, and end of that segment that none of it was in current development, just things that Dean was going to pitch when he gets back to the office, which he hasn't done yet. No, it's not going to be in the game unless they change their minds and he convinces them. But yes, it did come up. It was mentioned multiple times, including by me. And I like individual packs because I still do the streams. I still do launch day streams. I stream 3 times a year only for the expansions. And I keep track of which card back is luckiest. And if I go 20 packs without a legendary, I switch. But even I want the mass pack opening button in the game. It should be there. It should be there.
It would be. It would be nice. Yeah. So I opened 50 packs. If you want to ask me how that went, that's all I can remark on.
How did that go?
Both of you are aware of the pity timer. What is the fewest number of legendaries I could have opened in 50 packs?
Two.
That's how many I got.
Oh,
yeah. One was Cariel, who I was about to craft with dust. And I was like, I should probably just crack some packs first before I make this slightly updated Librem Paladin list.
I didn't open that many packs this time, so I didn't have that many legendaries. And I mean, a lot of my legendary haul often comes from the pre-orders as well. Like, that already inflates your number, right? Because you get legendaries, you get random legendaries with the pre-order. So I think I ordered, well, I got the big pre-order, but I didn't do both because normally I do both. But this time I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to do one. So I did like the mega pre-order bundle or whatever it's called. And then I had about 4,000 gold. So I did 40 more packs with my gold. And I mean, I did okay, but I've definitely noticed that my like ability to make decks is less. Like, I had to actually be careful and choose on day one, and that's terrible.
I don't like that. It's probably as the young kids would say, copium, but I'm having kind of an interesting experience with it. It's probably a coping mechanism, knowing I missed out and like that value will always ever be lost. But I found it kind of interesting, like in the first week, just kind of playing Quest Warrior as it existed before the expansion and doing well. Like, I'm still like piecing together like a 60% win rate. It's doing fine. Getting my quest done. Powering down that rewards track. Enough people complained about Paladin, and then I'm like, all right, I'm going to go craft Cariel and this Trog thing and see how it goes. And that's when I decided, like, all right, I'll put my first order in for 50 packs and go from there. Crack Cariel. The other one you'll love this hat was Scabs. That was my other legendary.
I do love that.
I know. I know you would be happy about that. But I'm kind of, I've never experienced this before. I've never been sitting there going, I have limited tools with which to build decks, and now I need to, like, I'm still sitting on a lot of dust and gold, so I could go nuts, but I'm kind of enjoying sitting here with, like, this false limitation, thinking about my own in-game economy and what I want to spend it on.
So. It's not false. It's just, like, liquid resources versus, like, cards you can't really, they're not solvent. You can't do what you want with them. You have them or you don't. Dust and gold, you get to have full control over what you do. And if you're doing fine not spending the money, this is... Garrett, I hate to tell you, you're enjoying being a responsible adult in your video game. You're enjoying, like, responsibly managing your finances, saying, no, I don't need to make that expense this year. It's just not worth it.
The reason... when I say false like limitation. I mean, I could just burn all my gold and all my dust, and I would probably have most of the set. Like that's how much gold and dust I'm sitting on. But
and you could empty your bank account and probably have a nicer car until the debt collectors came.
And hey, so listen, I do currently have auto trader alerts set up, so let's not go down that road because Katie is sick of hearing about it.
I'm just saying. I admire your responsibility, but I wouldn't call it a false limitation. I'd say that you're making informed choices based on your boneheaded mistake. That's called being a grown-up. That's what that is.
Listen, I really like the prettier picture you painted of what is definitely not the truth of my behavior. So, anyways, Warriors doing great. My experience with most new decks has been with fighting against them. I've beaten most of them at least once with Warrior, so that feels good. I've also been run over by them at least once by Autumn Warrior. So that doesn't feel as good, but I feel like I have a good understanding of the popular decks right now. And it's just been a cool new experience out of my boneheadedness.
There's a lot of value to just that, like, diversity of understanding of what is the free-to-play experience like now. And I will say the, you know, how much gold do you have still left? Because it's back in the day. Back in the old original economy with before duplicate protection, just the resources you built up from doing your quests every day and just gold sitting there would maybe get you like one legendary that might have even been something you already had. It could have been another Bolf Ram Shield to add to your collection.
I'm still sitting on 15,000 golden change.
15,000 or 1,500?
Oh, it might be 1,500.
Okay. I had to be careful.
Mean, you could earn it. I'm not doting your skills. I'm just...
If it's 15,000, I need to find a monocle so it can pop off and surprise.
Yeah, hold on. That's probably wrong. Let me get in here and take a quick peek. Hopefully it doesn't make any noise. If you hear noise.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure people listening to this podcast hate Hearthstone noise.
Yeah. No, if you hear anything, it's just the sound of Scrooge McDuck diving into his money vault. Load faster, you. Anyways, how are you all enjoying Alterac?
Well, I discovered that the golden animation on the adorable little druid puppies does wiggle its butt. So therefore, I make all golden druid puppies and watch them wiggle their butt all day. And it's glorious. It's literally the only deck that I've played. It's probably the only one I will play until they rotate out of standard, just because they're sitting there wiggling their butts and they're adorable.
Okay, so I was wrong, but not as wrong as I thought I was. It's not 15,000, it's 13,910 gold is how much gold I have left
over. Damn!
Jesu Cristo.
I tend to buy things with money in Hearthstone. With, like, real money, so my gold just accrues.
Do you not empty the bank account when a new expansion starts and put all of that into packs? Like,
yeah,
somebody
put
else I know that maybe.
No, God, no. Because, like, half of the set usually, like, never effing gets used, and the legendaries are a massive crapshoot, the likes of which no one, like, everyone knows. Like, I have no interest in having the full set. I've always said this. I'm not a budget player. I'm a player on a budget. I have my budget, my annual budget for Hearthstone. And so I used to do 2 pre-orders. Now I only do the big one. And this time I forgot to do any. I'll just kind of make do with that. I'll maybe dust and craft a few things that I'm really, really excited about out the gate. And then I'll wait for the first round of balance changes. And then I craft what I'm pretty damn sure is going to be required for the rest of forever.
That's golden puppies are required for the rest of forever.
Yeah. Some of those are free, though. I think that at least one of them is on the honor track. I think the 3-mana objective is free.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love Celestial in chat room says, 50 packs would be 5,000 gold and didn't seem like a big deal to him, so...
Oh, yeah. You bought 50 packs with gold and you have 13,900 left.
Yes.
You might be too responsible.
Yeah.
Definitely not with real money. Just with fake money.
Do it the other way around.
In Hearthstone's defense, I feel like getting just the big bundle the last couple of times has been more than enough for me to build all the decks I want to play. With some little bit of, you know, gold burning and dust burning here and there.
I'm just so used to basically having the whole collection on day one.
Well, listen, Joss.
I know.
As not a member of the 1% of anything but gold accrued, apparently, It's fine.
It's been weird.
I have to catch them all. This ain't Pokemon. Yeah. It's fine.
I don't know. So I'm with Joss in that I like basically having the full set on day one. I have the full set and I had it on day one. Because I don't want to try and make whale noises here because it would just embarrass us all. But hi, I'm a whale.
It would sound like a Bjork song if you did. So I mean, we would get copyright stricken.
I do like Bjork though. Hunters is a jam. But I always buy both pre-orders in the Tavern Pass and spend all my gold because I like constructed Hearthstone and I spend my play money on play things, and also people pay me to talk about the game across multiple different platforms, so I put that money back in the game so I have all the stuff, and then I, you know, play way too much Hearthstone. So I've played, I just checked my deck tracker, 100 games on desktop since launch, and I've definitely played a lot on mobile and iPad, so I would guess I'm probably closer to double that. I like this set.
That's a lot of Hearthstone.
That's a lot of Hearthstone.
Have you guys, just out of curiosity, sorry, again, not being here for the past couple of weeks, I'm not sure. Have you guys talked about the Tavern Pass yet?
No. Which part? And also, okay. No.
I have a feeling I know which part you're going to focus on, and the answer is no, if you're going to talk about the new rewards that are outside of Constructed.
Oh, okay. No, well, not really. I just...
I thought we were vibing. Okay.
Well, I mean, kind of. It was interesting to see rewards in there that weren't just for Constructed, which, you know, as a player who plays Battlegrounds as well, that was very exciting for me. I was like, oh, there's Bob and he has hot chocolate. That's fun.
I was really excited about it until I started getting mercenary rewards. I'm like, oh, this must be how the people who don't play Battlegrounds feel.
But it's more stuff than you don't pay more.
It is more stuff. That is true. But because of everything that was going on, I didn't pay a lot of attention to the Tavern Pass going into the expansion. So I was so excited when I saw the first page of it. I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. Every single level that you get through, there's one for the free side and the pay side. Like there's a reward the whole way through. And then I got to the next page and there was still stuff there. And then I got to the next page and everything disappeared across the top. And I was like, oh, well, that's disappointing. And I clicked all the way through and I was like, man, this looked so exciting at the beginning. And I just had this huge disappointment when I got to page 3. I was kind of like, oh, with all the modes they have now and with the expectation they set on page 1, this now all of a sudden seems like a letdown.
I don't mind it, because they essentially just kind of front-loaded all of it.
Oh, they totally did. And then they set my expectations up here. And then then there was no more and I said.
Is this different from the past Tavern Passes?
I believe so. I don't remember the past Tavern Passes having rewards for every single paid level on the first couple of pages. They're usually more than the rest of the Tavern Pass, but this seemed to be in your face with so many things.
Update the show title real quick there.
Please don't. I do not want to get demonetized.
The
distribution is different. Yeah.
You're right, because so on Stormwind, I looked it up. Level 1, the XP boost in Varian. Level 5, Chef's Scabs. High quality skin.
Yeah, so there was 2, 3, 4 had rewards this time too.
Because 2 was Mercenaries, 3 was Bob, and 4 was that totally banging Dragon card back. But so 2 of the, they added stuff. This is kind of the story of the economy of this expansion. They added stuff and it feels weird. Not pure upside, because also the honor track, they're just giving you more stuff for free, but foreshadowing to later in the show, more stuff for free isn't always a pure positive to everybody.
Yeah, it's just, it was just that, the first couple pages just looked so full, and I kind of then expected the rest of the pages to also be full, but it definitely falls off pretty fast, so.
I think a lot of this, and the stuff we're going to talk about, your foreshadowing hat, it really gets into, the psychology of fun. The science of fun.
It's totally a psych thing. 100%.
I 100% like see where you're coming from, Joss, and understand it. And yet also I go, yeah, I wouldn't mind getting all the good stuff like right up front and not having to worry too much about it if I was a more casual Hearthstone player. But yeah, it's like when I stop and think about it, I'm like, oh, no, this is fine. But also when I, yeah, like much the same way when I got past it, it was like, where'd all this stuff go?
Yeah, it's just more like dinging things, right? Like more things that are like, hey, you did a thing, have a thing. And then I'm like, hey, I liked that. I want to do more things.
I like things. I sat down at the first slot machine and it gave me a bunch of money. I'd like to keep doing that, please. Thank you.
It's actually, so I posted both rewards refreshes here in the Twitch chat, but looking at them next to each other, it's kind of striking how different the rewards are laid out. Even though, again, it's just adding in more stuff for not constructed for the same price, giving you more things, it looks gap-toothed, right? Like, it looks kind of weird and inconsistent. Even though, like, it's, gosh.
It'd be like if you took everything in Walmart and 75% of it you just stacked at the front of the store, but the store stayed the same size.
That's called an end cap.
Just like one rack of shoes in the back corner and then like a couple of Christmas trees on the other side.
Yes, except right now it's Christmas, so that stuff is right up in the front, in your face. Consume. Buy things for your loved ones or they don't think you love them. I love Christmas. I am absolutely into it, but yeah. Anyways, I've enjoyed it. All that being said, I understand like some folks are not stoked with some of the more meta decks at the moment, and it the expansion could not have launched on a busier week for me. So I haven't had as much time in the game as I normally would have on a launch week. So I probably just played like a healthy amount, and I'm like, yeah, it's fine. I don't see what everyone's yelling about. you played an unhealthy amount and you seem perfectly happy as well. So,
well, I mean, I'm tired. There's no way to work today.
But are you tired of Owl? Are you just tired from lack of sleep or are you tired of a card or two?
Okay. So are we going to do general state of standards? Is that the thing we're doing now?
We should probably talk about Libram Paladin and Owl, LTK Warlock, which whoever came up with that name, you deserve an award. That is one of the best play awards in the history of Hearthstone.
Yep.
So, okay. We're talking about state of standard. There are a couple litanies going around right now, but again, these are, if we're looking at an expansion launch where the highest point of drama is very low for an average launch, and also the main sticking point, which we're once again foreshadowing, I'm making jazz hands, audio listeners, I've been doing it the whole time, you could hear them before, I know, I wanted to spell it out, the thing that people were most upset about, they just fixed it. And when we talk about gameplay-wise, the most popular deck in the format per HS Replay last 3 days is under 10%. The most popular deck that you will see, which is Libram Paladin, number two is Owl TK over the last 3 days, both of them are under 10% popularity. So the thing you're going to see the most often, on average, on aggregate, once every 10 games. That is very unusual for a launch meta. We have had a lot of launches recently where something launches like, hey, that's not okay, and then they fix it within 9 days. I don't know what they would nerf here, because also, I know there's a lot of people are giving a hoot about Owl Warlock, you know, Owl Pun, but it's not even...
How many
even...
licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop?
That's a throwback that some of our younger listeners may not get, but also the correct answer is 3. You know,
those
they do the crunch
licks.
And the third. No, they do the crunch in the third one, and then they say 3. That was the commercial. It was the old campaign. Anyways, we're not going to get into that now.
Owl TK. You're the right age, Joss.
I didn't have Owl TK. I had Canadian commercials.
I forgot.
All about our heritage minutes.
is every commercial in Canada just pouring syrup over bacon? Is that it?
Basically,
and the bacon is actually ham, and everyone's disappointed because it's not real bacon.
So I'm going to talk about Owl TK.
That's wise.
Let's do it.
Like an owl. I missed you. So
he's such a long show. If we keep stopping for everybody's owl pun.
Oh no, whatever will we do? Everyone might be happier. Owl TK is not even the best warlock deck. It is, again, last 3 days, Diamond through Legend. It's the sixth best deck in the format per win rate. And again, it's changing a lot. But also in that same time frame, 1, 2, 3, 6, 9, 12, there are 13 decks in Tier 2. The format is pretty open. There's a lot of experimentation going on. And Owl TK is just what Warlock does, because Warlock is really good at killing your stuff, gaining some life, drawing some cards. How it wins is almost academic. It doesn't even matter. And there are so many good Warlock removal spells. Owl TK doesn't even play Raise Dead or Slinger or Bristleback. Those cards are nuts, and it doesn't even need them. Doesn't even play Soul Rend. Doesn't need them, because there's so many options there. But as far as Balance Outliers, this is about as good as you get in the launch. Because we've had way more, the other two expansions this year, trying to think of how far back went. Darkmoon Fair was a pretty stable launch, but also pretty underwhelming because the new stuff really didn't work all that well. That's not what's going on with Alterac. There have been a few videos over the weekend of, like, the Stormwind decks are the best decks, but the decks that have been getting played for 4 months and refined for 4 months, if something that you take out of the box when the new set launches in the last set of the year is instantly better than anything you were doing the rest of the year, we have a problem. And it's probably called Galakrond, because that just dropped that into a format, broke the whole thing apart. It turns out it wasn't all that healthy. They nerfed a bunch of them. Don't do that. But Alterac, the new decks were cool and interesting and seemed powerful, but the old decks were good the whole time, as Garrett can attest to, and also a lot of people on ladder. Libram Paladin, currently the number one by win rate in the format. But also, the newer decks are currently getting a little better every day. Just a little bit, just a little bit. As people find out more stuff and more stuff and more stuff, and that's kind of
what And learn how to play them properly, too,
also,
right?
It takes some time for things to get figured out.
Yes. Yes.
You mentioned, and you mentioned Libram, but like it's at least got a garnish of new cards.
a sprinkling.
You've got Carriel.
To me, it feels fresher to play Quest Warrior, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, and Quest Warrior, remember that like everyone wanted Quest Warrior to be good right away, and then it super wasn't. And then they had to buff some cards and print more cards for it, and then it was good after they nerfed some other stuff. Like, it's been a while, so like if you want to play some Quest Warrior, go ahead and play some Quest Warrior. We're not here to gatekeep you. And also, not everybody makes a pre-order, even if they have the means to, and they forget to, Garrett. But you look at there are a few.
I feel attacked.
I specifically called you out. That's you should. It was.
that was a hat attack.
Yes. And it's at night, so it's Night Hat Attack. We've made that joke before. I'm going to keep doing it on the show. That's just how we roll.
They changed the name of their show.
Oh, I should pay more attention. Yeah.
Brian Brush with Justin Robert Young, if you'd like to come back on sometime, be our guest.
Oh, yeah. We should do that. I look forward to laughing frequently, so I would like to do a podcast with them. New cards go in every deck, but not a ton of them necessarily. But as far as balance, I think a lot of people are talking about cards they don't like losing to, and I totally understand that. And there are a few that, like, play pattern. There are a couple play patterns where, like, I didn't feel like I had a lot of chances to deal with what they were doing, and then none of my cards worked, and then I died. There are a few of those right now. And those aren't necessarily the most fun. They're not broken, but they're not necessarily the most fun. Trog is one of those. Snowfall Guardian is one of those. Drekthar sometimes can feel like that because it gets a Trog. There are a few of these cards going around, but in the past, when they've been like 2-mana Lunacy or 1-3 Sword of the Fallen, they also came with a 60% win rate. That bad. We don't got that this time. So there are plenty of cards I don't like losing to. But right now, none of them are warping the format in a way that makes something superior to every other option. You can play old decks. You can play some new decks. New decks are interesting and getting better. No Hands Gamer last night tweeted a list of, you're not going to believe this, but it's a real live actual thing that's happening in High Legend. There are multiple players in Top 50 Legend with Tychicus Warlock. Tychicus Warlock is good. And then Brian Kibler was playing it. He calls it Fairlactery. It is a Death Rattle Warlock deck, where you play eggs and then eat the eggs with Sacrificial Summoner to get other stuff. And he posted a screenshot of beating a Ticketus Warlock player with Phylactery for Envoy Rustwix on all of his minions, shuffling 15 primes into his deck and winning rank 2400 Legend. If that's a screenshot of what's happening in Standard right now, that is awesome. And I don't know where we're going, and it's not what I expected to see or hear or talk about today. And I really enjoy that about Alterac so far.
Speaking of list of decks, we should also mention that you were curating one that is still available. I put the link in the show notes if you guys are interested. But it's like every deck posted on social media by anyone who is even remotely considered good at Hearthstone. It was an awesome list.
Yes.
I'm just going to add this Brian Kipler's Phylactery as a standalone link here for myself. Just for myself.
Yes. It's a really fun deck, by the way. I used the summoner, which it eats a minion, then recruits one out of your deck that costs one more. I ate a Burning Blade Acolyte, the 5-mana 1/1 that makes a 5/8 taunt, to get Mr. Smite. Attacked my opponent. Then the following turn, I went Fiend to Circle to make 4/1/1 imps, and then Phylactery to make all of them summon 5/8 taunts when they died. My opponent, they dipped. So, I don't know. That's a thing you can do now. And
I get it, man. This meta is so much fun. I summoned the Juggernaut.
Yeah, it's a big boat.
That it is. I also got to play Cariel. That's the new thing I did. Did you know Cariel's good? Like, really, really, really good.
See,
pretty sure we thought that was going to be the case.
I played against it once. I was playing a deck with minions in it, and then my opponent played Cariel, and then I kept attacking them, and they kept not being dead, and then they played Librium of Hope and healed back to full, and they were still not dead, and then I lost. And that was annoying.
We gotta all just start putting news in, right? Like, even if you're a mage.
Yeah, it's Viper is real good right now for eating Ruined Mithril Rods. If you want to beat Owl Warlock, put two Vipers and a Mutinous in your deck, by the way. Viper is really great for rods and also immovable objects.
I felt truly dirty. Like, the dirtiest I have felt in Hearthstone in a very long time against a quest mage that got their quest done stupid early. Well, because I'm a paladin. All I'm doing is dropping small things that they can fire spells at for the entire damn game. And they just had spell power out the wazoo. And I didn't even bother removing spell power minions. That's how, so they got all this spell power. They're throwing endless, endless damage at my face. But I've got that Cariel shield. And it's just like, oh yeah, math. Math is my friend. Math, by the power of math, I will not die. And they just exhausted their resources. I felt horrible. There was nothing they can do. They were clearly not running Viper. I was laughing all the way to the wind bank. It was great. I'm a little sorry. Like, legitimately.
No, you're not.
Not enough to change your behavior.
I'm not going to concede based on feeling bad, but I'll feel bad afterwards. I'm not Canadian. Like, well, the polite thing to do would just be concede, which is apparently what Formula One fans assume you should do in competition, but...
I see we're crossing the streams.
Oh, yes. Yes. We're also crossing Lewis Hamilton.
I don't know anything about cars.
He lost.
I take the train.
And some people are very happy and some people are very mad.
Sounds like Hearthstone.
Yeah.
I was going to say, yeah, sounds like sports.
But you get to put a new name in the world champion column of the wiki for the first time in like 5 years. So that's nice. Anyways. I'm not surprised Paladin is good. It's still Librium, so I'm still a little bored with it. Even though Trog is cool and Cariel is exactly as like the power fantasy I was hoping Cariel would be.
I'm glad that Librium's eventually found their footing and we got to play with them, but I think I'm definitely sick of them now. And I agree with what you said earlier, Hat, with like, you don't want anything to come in and totally blow away decks that have been refined over 4, 8 months, 12 months, whatever. But at the same time, like when some stuff has been around for that long, like I'm ready for it to be gone.
Well, I mean, Librium's have been tier one since late Ashes, early Skolo. That's been like, Librams have been around since coronavirus, and that's a long time.
Are
you connecting the two?
No, I'm not.
Like you might be.
I'm connected not.
Saying that coronavirus and Librams are both a connected plague among upon humanity, but he is also not saying.
He's not saying that.
Paladin players, you do your Librams, but also it's important to note that Year of the Griffin has been the year of new and exciting ways to lose to Paladin in week one. And in Barons, we lost to this new secret build. That was cool. Cora made a weapon that was too good. Cora. I'm shaking my fist.
Cora!
But it was different. There are a bunch of different ways to do it. We had Crab Riders. There was a second we were playing Nerubian Egg and casting Busting of Authority on it. That was cool, but then it got old because it kept winning too much. In Stormwind, we were dying turn five because people would go Conviction Coin Battlemaster, and those cards didn't cost enough mana back then, and then we'd be dead now. And that was exciting, but also, again, got pretty old pretty quick. I don't like being dead. I like being alive. And so, I was dead too fast. And so they fixed it, and now this is less new and exciting, but we have a couple new cards. Trog is a fun card. We should talk about Trog for a second here, because back in the day, back in Stormwind last week, people were asking for proactive quest disruption. You see our boy over there in the Iron Deep Mines, who's very shouty when you play him, by the way. I wish he would just shout a little less, but still.
Disruptive. You asked for disruption. What's more disruptive than shouting?
It depends on what's being disrupted. Anyways, it doesn't matter. This is disrupting quests. This is exactly what we needed, and I don't love the play pattern because it feels gibberlingish, but when I'm playing a gross combo deck with a lot of from hand spell stuff, this card destroys me, especially if they have buffs. When I'm playing a deck with minions, I'm like, nice 1-2, I'll kill it, let's move on. And it's okay. So this is a safety valve in the format if the from hand spell stuff gets too good, except it started open. It entered the format when it was needed, so it seems super snowbally and crazy just to get people to move a little bit away from the quest decks. And it's the quest decks are still very good. I mean, Garrett, you're playing one. The top decks in the format last 3 days, Diamond 3 Legend, Librum Paladin, Quest Rogue, Quest Hand Warlock, Quest Warrior, three of the top four, but those aren't the decks that are like, it's not Quest Demon Hunter here where you're going full from hand. It's not Quest Mage, which is not a deck anymore, which I'm thrilled about, kind of. I'm glad that it was popular for 8 months, but it's not really a deck anymore. This is proactive disruption, and if they tune down the spell stuff, they can tune down this card too, but you kind of need this for the format to slow down because it punishes the people that are trying to go fast in a very particular way, and I think it's important to be around even though my opponent goes this on one, Noble Mountain two, and I'm on the coin, I am unhappy because I probably just lost that game. There's a balance to be found there. But as of right now, it's playing an important role. I hope they find a way to make this worse by making other stuff worse so they can pull it all back a little bit at once. But I'm glad they made this because it's doing its job.
So if they were to change Trog, would it be the effect or the stats on the actual card that need to change?
So, Garrett, you've been playing some Paladin. Even though mostly War, you've been playing some Paladin, right?
Much like the beginning of the show, you could cut that out, put it in any episode, and people would not be able to pinpoint what era person was talking about.
There we go. So, describe to me your experience when you have Trog going first versus when you have Trog going second.
One feels like the same deck I've been playing since After Ashes, and the other feels like a new deck.
So, the thing that I don't like about Trog the most right now is the splash damage, because it's tuned pretty high and the numbers are all really small, where it's really good right now against the spell decks, really at any point, especially when paired with buffs. But if you're going first in if you're against a deck that is a minion deck with buffs, you kind of beat those decks if you go first with Trog against them, and you lose to them if you go second. I don't love the splash damage there and how coin flipping and polarized that particular moment is. And the way to fix that is to make it a 2-drop. 2-mana 2-2, 2-mana 2-3, whatever. Because one is just too small of a window for decks to answer. And that's really, I think, when people talk about things they want balanced in this format, it's opening up the opportunity to deal with them. When they talk about Warlock, it's not how the game ends that matters, but how good that deck is at killing all your stuff and getting all the life back. You've got like 3-4 turns to really get ahead against them. And then if that window closes, it doesn't really open back up that game. When you're dealing with Snowfall Guardians, if you go wide and then they go Guardian into Macaw or whatever, or Bolnir Macaw, you don't really have an opportunity to respond after that point if you haven't already done a bunch of pressure or you don't have something from hand that can deal with that. So those are the feels bad moments of like you get multiple turns where I can't do anything and then you lose. You want to sand down those edges, but they come up in particular points, which will get a little better when people learn how to play against them, and there's some opportunity for some changes there. But yeah.
It's like anecdotally where I'm playing, which is usually like I usually just finish Diamond every season. So at least where I am, and everyone's mileage varies, I've seen more other Paladin and Mage more than anything else. And everything you just described is exceptionally true in the mirror matchup. It feels like whoever had Trog first feels like they win in the mirror. It really, really sets the stage for that. And then it's pretty much like nullified. Like Trog doesn't really matter as much in Mage because they probably have a spell that will kill the Trog early game. Yeah,
D.Va Missiles is super good right now. Super duper good. Devolving Missiles incredible at the moment.
Yeah. Very much so. So yeah, my experience is like the two classes I'm running into the most. One, Trog is hyper important and feels like it's the entire story of the matchup, and the other, it feels like nothing has changed. I'm playing kind of the same deck as I have been.
Yeah. And Jocelyn, you've been playing, so does your aggressive Druid deck have room for Trogs, or do you all beast all the time?
All beast all the time, which may or may not be the right way to play it. I don't really care. Like I'm having fun.
You're playing puppies. It's cool. Puppy cubs.
Yeah, I'm playing puppies.
That's the hashtag. Yes. And like, so you don't need to play any of these cards to win. You don't need to play Trog. You don't need to play. It's Owl. Owl doesn't matter. It's Death Knight Tamsin. The hero card Tamsin is what matters. And Rod. Like the Owl endgame is completely irrelevant in Owl TK. And again, not even the best Warlock deck. Handlock is a better deck, and it also plays Death Knight. Hero Tamsin. But there are also a bunch of other things you can do. And like the Beastie Druidy deck, I played some of that. You kind of kill people out of nowhere sometimes, as long as you start the turn with a board. Yeah.
There's just, it seems like in that deck, there's so many points against so many decks where I'm like, oh, I should just concede because, you know, I'm not going to get there. But there's just so many. It's like every time I start my turn, there's just something on my board. Like somehow it just works out that no one seems to be able to clear everything. And then I'm like, huh. And then I just, you know, arbor up or, you know, like do a couple of other things. Or there's the, I can't remember the name, but the 2 mana that gives your all friendly characters +1 attack. It's like a super mini Bloodlust minion. Like,
oh, Claw Fury Adept.
Yeah, there you go.
Good.
Yeah, mini Bloodlust on a body.
On a body, yeah. And, you know, like you can tempo that out and or you, because it also gives your face attack, right? So, or you can just like save it and get a little bit of burst at the end. But like, I don't know, it just, every once in a while, I mean, some games it's an aggro deck. So some games it's just like, bam, run people over. No big deal. There's nothing they can do. But like, I mean, I was in this super grindy game against this priest and I was just like, oh, I'm going to concede. And then like 4 turns later, I had just won. And I'm like, I don't think either one of us knew how that happened. It was just kind of like the priest ran out of healing and they had a stupid amount, but it just, you know, eventually they just couldn't get rid of everything. And I was like, ah, this is actually really fun.
Now, I've seen this list with Trog. Are you running Trog or not?
No, I'm not. I'm just running beast things.
Okay. All beast all the time.
Yep.
Yep.
Gotcha.
And okay. So there are a bunch of archetypes that feel familiar, but the actual way they're being executed is in flux right now. Aggressive Druid decks are all over the place. There are some that go full scam. There's a version that is, it doesn't run Arbor Up. because the only card that costs more than three that it runs is Drekthar, which if you don't have any minions that cost the same or more in your deck, it recruits two that cost less than it. It doesn't run Arbor Up, so you can use Capture Coldtooth Mine to draw the highest cost card in your deck, so you always get Drekthar. You pull out a Trog and the Baron's Guff Rune Totem. The 3-mana 2/4, whenever you play a nature spell, buff another minion. You get Drekthar, and then you use a bunch of Innervates and Blooms, and you just buff, guff, buff. And then you make giant Trogs very quickly, and then you hope that works. Now, of note, this deck is bad, but when it wins, it's very flashy. And on the other end, you can take Stormwind, Aggro Druid with Razormane, Battle Guards, and whatever, and throw in a couple new cards, including Trog, and then live your life. And it's still very good.
Yeah, so the one that I'm playing doesn't play Trogs, but it has the Frost Saber Matriarchs that are often
Beast from
free,
Blue.
Which is, yeah, which is pretty good. And it has Wing Commander in it and Park Panthers. And so, like, it kind of has a little bit of an upper end. And yeah, like, it's just so fun.
Yes.
Look at us. Look at us having fun.
Yeah, imagine that. I also like Druid of the Reef. That's really fun to play.
Yes.
It's Voidwalker. You're selling me on this deck. I haven't been paying too much attention to Druid.
Yeah, I haven't really either for a while, and I don't know what it is about this, like, aggro beast build, other than the adorable puppies, that I'm kind of, like, grasping onto, because normally I don't really like token druid type decks. I like big druid things, and this is not a big druid thing.
I mean, those minions can get kind of beefy. Like, you can have some pretty big dogs.
They can, but they're not like big beefy druid decks.
But, like, if I think back to the Facehunter deck that you got legend with, you know, that time. And think as to the decks that you've enjoyed playing, you kind of like playing stuff with minions that starts playing stuff on one and then just kind of keeps going for a while and then doesn't run out of stuff because either you have more or they're dead or both. And this kind of kind of fits that without being...
Oh, Joss, you should play Paladin.
Paladin's a little slower than I think where Joss normally goes, but yes, I think the current iteration of Paladin, the biggest reason why I think Liberum Paladin is showing as the best deck, because it already had good one drops in Aldor Attendant particularly, yeah. And now it has another one. And good one drops are hard to find these days, and Trog and Attendant are a very powerful 1-2 punch.
Yeah, and saying that they had a new good one drop is putting it mildly. It is a powerhouse, so much so that you suggested adding another mana to its cost. You suggested no longer making it a one drop.
But only to deal with the play pattern. In terms of win rate, this is the fun part. In terms of win rate, Aldor is a better one drop on one than Trog, statistically. It wins you more games to play Aldor on one than Trog on one.
There are extenuating circumstances, like I mentioned, though. Like, your mileage varies. What's your matchup? There are matchups like against Mage where Trog don't matter. Mage don't care.
Yeah.
But also Mage don't win because you have Kharriel. So
yeah. But also, like, if you play Trog on one and then they are a minion deck or like a rogue with Cutlass and it's like nice 1-2, dead now.
Yeah, there are answers.
Yeah.
Just like there are answers to to the problematic weapons going on right now. But yeah, we have there's so much going on. It's such a cornucopia as it always is, but there's to me this time it feels good. I think I'm enjoying this launch the most as of any launch this year.
I think if they were to nerf too quickly, it would be worse than nerfing with a more measured pace this time. Stormwind felt like I don't know what to hit. Everything is busted. And then they ended up hitting everything. Barons was very clear about what was busted. This time, I hope they wait a little bit longer. After Worlds, for sure, I don't want them to nerf anything before Worlds and make anything worse and punish the players. But also, like, if they're not in the office early next week and they can't nerf until January, I think that would be cool. And that would be the first time we haven't had a nerf right away in a six set meta since Kobolds. Kobolds. Because they nerfed 2 weeks into Rastakhan to make the set matter, or at least attempt to. And then they nerfed in DOD because of.
We have Celestron in chat saying no nerfs before Worlds.
That's important. I'm going to come back to that after I finish my thought. Thank you, Celestron. So yeah, in Kobolds, they should have nerfed, but they didn't because they didn't nerf quickly back then. In Rastakhan, they nerfed to make the set relevant. In DOD, they nerfed because Gala Shaman and some other stuff. In Darkmoon Fair, they nerfed because of Aggro DH and Highlander Hunter and end up making Evolve Shaman and Abomination over Christmas. But this time, we're chilling. And so, like, I don't think that they need to make any nerfs even next week if they have the opportunity to do so. We could wait. Been a while since that's been the case. I don't know if that's how it's going to go, but it's been a while since that's been the case.
You're going to make me start saying singing Stained if you say it's been a while one more time. But
what year is it?
It is always 2003 in my brain.
Mm.
Which, that was still kind of an old song even then. Anyways, whatever the case is, there's a lot of decks. We could talk a lot about many, many more. But there's some other things we want to get to today. Including, are we almost an hour in? Dear God.
52 minutes and 55 seconds.
We haven't even done housekeeping yet. We have winners of Alterac Valley bundles to announce, and we better do it before I steal one of these codes. So if you entered our contest last week for giveaways for those Alterac bundles that were sent us over to us by the Hearthstone team, the winners have been pulled. I haven't messaged you yet. I'll get to it very soon. By the time you're hearing my voice, you may already have your code. But Wakanavi is how I'm going to choose to pronounce that one. Master De, Greater Than Well, Dootcom, which just made me laugh. That name is so great. It's like an AIM name circa 1998. It's just the best. And Jake Stewie, you are our winners of those Alterac bundles. One of you won from the retweet. The rest of you entered our hashtag giveaway that was mentioned in the podcast last week, because we are insidious and force you to listen to podcasts to find out how to enter contests. We had a ton of entries. I am so proud of all of you for actually listening to the podcast. And I am not sorry if you're like angrily listening, like, I just want free stuff. Where is it? I'm scrubbing through the timeline.
We also made them wait like almost an hour to find out who won just because that conversation about the meta went on for so long.
Yeah. Well, you know, most people get this on the download. It's on demand. They may not even get to it later. So they'll know when a message shows up with a code. So congratulations. And thanks again to the Hearthstone team for giving us codes to give away. Really appreciate it. If anyone of our winners like forgot to pre-order, let me know, because that would just make my day if you made the same mistake I did and now you're like getting a code on the back end. That'd be great. Also, while we're announcing winners and stuff, thanks is due to our wonderful patrons. Support us over at patreon.com/TAC if you like what we're doing here on the Angry Chicken. You like hearing me tell my deep, dark, stupid secrets of idiotic atrocities I commit against the game of Hearthstone. Well, you can go to patreon.com/TAC and support the show. It's not the opt-in subscription. Show is always going to be free. But if you want to support us, we have multiple levels set up, or you can just enter whatever amount works for you. And to our latest patron, Lucas Willemson, thanks for joining. Make sure you get in the patron-only Discord server. Come hang out. Ask us questions. Skip the inbox. Multiple perks, including an ad-free version of the show that goes straight to you in your own custom burnt RSS feed. It's made just for you. Check it out, patreon.com/TAC. And speaking of that ad-free feed, if you're hearing this, you must not be a patron, because this episode of The Angry Chicken is sponsored by Honey. Today's sponsor, yeah, that's right. Today's episode, it's sponsored by Honey. If you haven't heard about this, if you haven't heard about Honey, listen, you probably shop online. I would be very surprised if you listen to a podcast about an online card game and you don't. You've probably seen that promo code just laughing in your face while you're like, I could sit here and go to a search engine and waste hours of my life using a bunch of codes that don't work. My Control C fingers hurt. and Control V. Which again, mom, that's how you do it. Stop right clicking. You know. But thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes, it's a thing of the past. It's a free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes, and it's just going to apply the best one it finds to your cart automatically. And get this, Honey supports 30,000 stores online. So you got a pretty darn good chance of finding a code that's going to work for something you're actually shopping for. It has worked for me. I don't know. Is there anything coming up or maybe that we're in the middle of that there's like a great need to do a lot of shopping for?
Christmas.
Yes, there's other things as well. Hanukkah.
That happened already. You're late.
Oh, it's over? You can tell how I was brought up.
We're in the middle of a sponsor read. I'm not going to give you the details of the Jewish calendar. Let's just talk about Christmas. Have you used Honey to save any money on gifts for your loved ones?
Yeah, I saved $4 on a recent gift for Katie, which I'm not going to specify. And I've already divulged that I saved money on a Christmas gift for Katie. So, Katie, I know you're listening. Go away. Stop it. I should turn and point to the door, like in the other room where she's currently residing. Stop listening. So anyways, if you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It's literally free and installs in just a few seconds. And by getting it, not only will you'll be doing yourself a solid, but you'll be supporting this podcast. So get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/TAC. That's joinhoney.com/TAC. We thank them for their support. We thank you for supporting the brands to support us here on the Angry Chicken. Somehow we haven't played this bumper already, so let's get into it. This week's Hearthstone News.
Good news, everyone!
Oh, no. Time to talk about that Vandar and Drekthar drama. We're hounds for drama here on this show.
I'm not saying it right, Garrett. It's drama!
If I had said it correctly, I would have robbed the world of that delightful delivery.
you gotta lean into it, man.
But then it would peak because I'd be yelling drama so loud.
Oh, you're so close.
I'll fix it in post.
You'll fix it. Okay, great. Auto-tune my drama for me, please, and thank you.
Don't you tempt me.
Post Malone karaoke after the show tonight, everybody. So yeah, there's been a little bit of drama regarding Vandar and Drekthar. These were our, you know, we got to choose one of these pre-expansion. We got to choose Horde or Alliance. This is the reason we're looking at either a really cool emblem or a lion when we're playing games.
I will say, so I chose Horde just for WoW reasons, because I always choose Horde, because Horde is just the right way to go. But, it seems like everyone else picked Alliance because I'm facing almost only Alliance people on ladder. It's been great. I've just been getting so much honor.
Yeah, I chose Alliance and I regret it because, yeah, I'm also seeing nothing but Alliance. I couldn't decide. And I even had a talk with Hat
about it. I've been rewarded for my loyalty.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, I even talked to you, Hat, about it. You remember, this went back and forth and we're like, probably maybe not both good. And so I chose Alliance solely because I think it's a better illustration. I think the art's better. Drekthar is weirdly cropped in on. You can't see the doggies. It's weird.
Yeah. I don't really notice what my opponent is doing because I'm looking at their class and then mulliganing to beat them, whether they're Horde or Alliance. you can say like I'm kind of
not paying attention to the faction war at all. He's like, take your lore and shove it.
I turned off war mode. I don't want to get PK'd, like, whatever.
Not paying attention to the faction war at all. Sounds like the plot of BFA.
I unsubbed during the first tier, so I don't know. I didn't stick around for after the tree burning. I'm like, I'm good. Anyways, doesn't matter too much. But yeah, there was. So this was, remember how we alluded to, the thing we alluded to multiple times with the jazz hands, you remember that, audio listeners, is the drama over more free stuff. And this was a very interesting situation from a human psychology standpoint. From a thing to be dramatic about, I guess I'm kind of glad because this is the smallest drama I can ever remember in Hearthstone, maybe. Yeah. But, you know, there's a legendary that they guaranteed you after 7,200 honor, 360 games. You got the one you didn't pick in the before in golden at the end of this track. But that's a lot of games. But they wanted to make sure that you could play with the card that you didn't pick now. So they put it in packs, the normal version, not the golden. And that meant, like, yeah, you could open it. And yeah, you could get it as your freebie. And if you know you're getting a free one later, opening it now lets you play more stuff now, but not more stuff over the course of the expansion. Just later you get a cosmetic upgrade. Whereas if you didn't open it, that meant you got to play more stuff now and then. So it was worse to open your packs now. Technically, players were incentivized to finish the honor track, 7,200 honor, before opening any packs. It's a crazy thing to do. But it was optimal.
Let me tell you about Quest Warrior.
Yeah, you could do that. You could do that. But a lot of players didn't want to do that. I didn't do it for sure. And then they opened Vandar Drekthar as their normal legendary. And they were like, you know, this feels kind of not great because I know I'm going to get one of these later. And I didn't really want this now. And I wanted another card that I could play.
Yeah, it's it's almost like we're in the holidays right now. And this is on my mind. But we figured this out for gift giving holidays, and it's called gift receipts.
Yeah.
And yeah, it is among the least like important quote unquote issues. As you said, it's probably the smallest piece of drama that is actually technically drama that we can think of in recent memory from Hearthstone. It's a funny thing, when drama is not particularly important, you tend not to remember it, but I absolutely get it. Like, yeah, if you crack one of these, it's just like, oh, yes, that sucks. I was going to get it anyway. They were giving me things that I normally wouldn't get for free anyway, but now that I know it's coming, psychologically, that science of fun, talked about it an hour ago now, it makes all the sense in the world. It's like, it's now a known. It's, you have now have information you previously didn't have, even though it is additional freebies that we previously were not given. It's still this thing where it's like, well, no, my brain understands the rarity of this legendary being assigned in the card that I just turned over in the pack that I just cracked. And there's a monetary value assigned to that pack and to that card. And whether I used gold or not, especially if I'm sitting on 13,900 and change gold, all of those things into your mind. And yeah, if I turned over Drekthar right now, I would be bummed. I haven't gotten my gold Drekthar yet. I'd be like, ah, that sucks.
I think it disproportionately impacts players that are more on the free-to-play spectrum, which, Garrett, you have found yourself this expansion. And those aren't really the players that you want to, I'm holding up air quotes here, punish? Like, it is more free stuff, but in a weird way. And I think there are a couple ways to do this that would have felt a little better. And something that I mentioned on Coin Conceit in one of my other shows, I think the other one should have probably been the level one reward in the rewards track, and you just kind of sidestep this whole thing. You just give it away, and then everyone has the same cosmetic upgrade later. But if you know it's just a cosmetic upgrade coming later, then getting a freebie now doesn't change anything. No one was upset about unlocking Golden Kael'thas in Ashes, even though we got the regular one for free. Like, we just did it, and it's like, oh, cool, he's gold now. And that was it. So they just put the other one on level one. Would have been a lot easier.
Yeah. That's true. Level one. Also, this could have been like another way you could swing this in the future is doing it as like a longer lead up before the expansion. So like declare your allegiance now. It's a Alterac pre-release event. And so that like the goal is to be finished with it before the expansion comes out. And that's another way you could play it. There's been so much junk going on outside of trying to push games out the door at Blizzard that like any other time I'd be like, oh, they should have thought about that. Maybe done it like beforehand, but it's like there's been walkouts and all sorts of other things. So that's also rattling around in the back of my brain when I think about this. But yeah, and at the end of the day, this boils down to that age old, like is bad versus feels bad I think this definitely falls more firmly in the feels bad side of the category. But, you know, as we've mentioned many, many times, and as other developers have mentioned many times, sometimes feels bad equals is bad.
However,
sometimes that's enough.
However, the difference this time is that they changed their minds at Blizzard headquarters and said, you know what? We hear the community feedback. We know you're not happy. Eligible for full refunds if you open this. Go nuts. Merry Christmas. And Celeste Alon Claus just rode his ma'am's sleigh over the moon.
Well, it would be a purple celestial sleigh pulled by multiple ma'ams.
Yes. On the way to get Boba at the North Pole.
I do not want to bite into a frozen Boba ball, by the way. That sounds painful.
No. Yeah. They changed their minds. They said, okay, you know what? We hear you. Kind of a bummer. Get your refund. If you want your refund, go get your refund. And I was like, all right. And now the drama's over.
I respect the hell out of that. I love that. I love that as the outcome of this. I'm like, yeah, you know, sure.
It's just,
here you go. Enjoy.
It's just better because they just pulled the stop drama, enjoy Christmas lever, and then here we are. And that's...
Dear God, do you know how much I would love that lever during Thanksgiving dinner?
Yes!
Just,
no more just, drama! Boom!
No more! We're not talking about that topic anymore. Let's talk about something not controversial at all, like Star Wars.
Yeah. Really, I think The Last Jedi was the best of the films.
Send your emails to nothofusgiveacrap@gmail.com.
Okay. More controversial, but actually true statement, because that past statement was not true. The true statement is I haven't seen either Last Jedi or Rise of Skywalker. That's the true statement.
It's like Joss and I haven't played the new Halo and she does a general video game podcast and you being in the line of work that you're in saying any movie you haven't seen.
Line of work that I'm in makes it significantly less likely that I watch movies.
That's
substantially less likely.
It's a very good point.
Yeah.
That's a very good point. That's like at family functions, people really want to talk video games to me, and I am sorry. I don't.
Yeah. The most common questions when you work at a movie theater is, oh, you must see all the movies. Oh, do you get free tickets? Oh, do you eat a lot of popcorn? No. No. I can't. When my wife makes microwave popcorn, my neurons start firing. I'm like, what? please. I can't eat it and I can't be around.
It's like a college kid who had too much Goldschläger and now can't walk into Michael's anymore because the cinnamon brooms trigger a gag reflex. And if this sounds extremely specific, there's no reason at all.
So anyways, we have to talk about what my brain does and Garrett cinnamon sticks or whatever he said. What did you say?
All right, I can't do artificial cinnamon anymore.
So no. We have to talk about that because Blizzard just stopped the drama instantly, and now we have to find other content.
They took the cinnamon broom and ejected it out the window. They said, yeah. Oh, is this making you not feel good? Here you go. It's gone. It's gone. It's over.
So, props. Unsolved. Hey, thanks for fixing that. In the past, the drama, this was a little bit more difficult with the Blitzchung stuff. They couldn't just pull the make Hong Kong and China okay now lever. Like, that just wasn't on the wall. But, like, this time they had...
They couldn't pull the lever that made their own Chinese arm, like, behave appropriately. So, I mean...
Yeah, well, it wasn't net easy. NetEase is the company in China.
When we were covering the Blitzchung drama? Yeah. Because I didn't see anyone make that joke, and that is art.
Thank you.
As the entire chat room face bombs.
Keep in mind, I had 2 years to work on it, and during that week at the time, I was very sad and staring at the wall a lot, so I wouldn't have come up with it.
How do you not work for BuzzFeed?
because despite all indications of the contrary, I have a little self-respect left, so haven't been returning their calls.
I wasn't trying to bring up more controversial topics, so let's all just take solace of the fact that Time made Elon Musk Person of the Year, because everyone is happy with that decision. And let's take some questions by opening our mailbag of emails or sent to tacpodcast@gmail.com or questions from our Discord channel.
Hello.
Hello, it's me.
Hello.
Just quickly, do you get my message?
Yep.
Oh.
Hello, brother.
Yeah, I just said where you can send things. Do it. Rabble writes in this week and says, one question, Team Troggy or Team Boots? Curious to know who on the team has had the most frustrations with either deck since the start of the meta, and if they could be changed, what would a proposed change be to those two cards? We already talked about this.
Yeah, we did. I forgot to
I thought it was coming. Yeah, so we talked at length about Trog. I guess we didn't get into any potential changes about Hoots as Rabble. By the way, Rabble, I don't know if you noticed, I'm not frustrated by Trog. I'm part of the problem.
Yeah. And just kind of how I, which is kind of how I feel about the owl, is like, I don't know, I just think it's a really cool combo. Like, I'm down with this. I think the only problem is that it takes place in a deck that's really, or in a class that's really good at making combos happen, right? Just because of their hero power and their consistent draw. So I think that that's like, if it was in any other class, maybe people wouldn't hate it as much. I don't know, but I'm still Team Owl. I think it's a cool combo. Go for it. It's not a quest, really. Like, it's new. It's fun. Have some fun.
Yeah, I'm Team Guff.
Team Guff.
Hello, my name is Guff. That's what he says.
That's all you got.
I love him so much. Team Scabs, team play a lot of rogue. I don't feel any strong affiliation with either of these things. They've been visible, I guess, but yeah, Owl Warlock, like, the problem isn't the owl, it's the warlock. So, like, nerf that part.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I, Rune Mithril Rod annoys me more than a lot of the other things going on.
As it should. Get that out. Get it out. Don't like it.
I love Rune Mithril Rod, like, on principle. I am officially annoyed by it in application.
Yeah.
Love discounting cards. This is, like, one of my favorite. There are few singular effects in this game that make me feel more powerful than going, I'm getting away with murder. I'm cheating the system of mana here. It doesn't feel the same. Ramping on Druid, not the same. No. I want those numbers to be smaller. Smaller numbers feel better than getting the bigger numbers quicker.
But that's like fair. Synergy-based discounts, I'm cool with. Like, Blood Sail Deckhand, my next weapon costs one less. Okay, I can work with that. Librams. You discount your other, like, your Librum reducers discount your Librums, but Octobot and, to an extent, Flow and Demon Hunter Quest and Rod are just like, I don't care what's in your hand, just discount it all, just whatever. I want some more conditionality there. I want that to be a little bit harder to do, and I want it to hit a smaller number of cards, because when it hits everything, I was playing Regis Kilbin, made this fun, aggressive Fire Mage deck, with the frozen mammoth that, like, you play a fire spell and it cracks out of the freeze and then attacks for six. Big fan. It plays a bunch of minions, and so I kept getting honorable kills with siphon mana and discounting like two cards in my hand. Like, it was good, but then I played some Ozaki Mage and discounted nine cards in my hand. I'm like, that's better.
This is better. Nine is more than two.
And it plays flow too, and so you kill people by going, like, you play spells, you play Mozaki, and then one or zero mana biscuit, and then you get two mana back, and then you play some other stuff and draw some more cards, and then play another biscuit and get it back, and then ignite siphon mana, and then they're dead. I was playing against it. I got honorable killed from 10 with one siphon mana. Like, it didn't feel that honorable. It's like, I don't know.
Didn't feel... I don't think that's a clause on honorable kill. I don't think you need to feel honorable.
Like, they didn't need the discount either because I was dead after. But, like, I don't know. One mana, I take 10 felt like the wrong ratio of mana to damage. Usually when I get 10, I have to pay more.
Big exercise in feels bad. Right? Like, you don't need the discounts off Mithril, Rod, but it sure doesn't feel good when you get them. I mean, it feels good when you get them if you're the driver.
Yeah. It doesn't feel good to be on the receiving end of a Rune Mithril Rod on an entire hand of cards, which Warlock often has because of their card draw. So,
yeah, like if they went turn 4, Rod pass, turn 5, tap one thing pass, sure, but it's always coin Rod into backfire and to play my whole hand and to play the second Rod for 2 mana on turn 6 or whatever. It's or like turn 5, Hero Tamsin, which is just filthy, gross, disgusting. A lot of things don't cost quite enough in Warlock. I don't think it's a huge outlier, but also I like playing minions and then attacking with them, and Warlock just keeps killing my stuff over and over again and going back to 30, and then I'm dead now, and that seems unfair.
So, much like last week, are you saying the problem isn't actually any one card, it's Warlock?
Problem is a strong word. If I were looking to make minion strategies more viable, which I would probably be looking to do as a designer if I were a designer, because minions are fun, I would tone down the efficiency that allows removal-dense decks to exist so easily, so that minion strategies like the Puppy Cub Butt Wiggle deck that Joss is playing was a little bit better, because that's the kind of thing that you really want to happen. It's like it's dynamically replayable from game to game. There's a lot of board investment. There's a lot of counterplay and interactivity. And not a lot of all your stuff is dead. I gain all my life back. Now you're dead.
I'm so glad that you had a single card answer like Rabble asked for. Rabble, I applaud the three of us for answering your question very directly and succinctly. We are perfect. You're welcome. What does King Duplis have to say, Joss?
King Duplis wrote in and said, with 10 new hero cards being added into the game, which hero card is your absolute favorite and why? Whether it's for fun, power level, art, theme, etc. And also, which is your least favorite? Whether it's too weak, too strong, bad design, bad art, etc. Also, who is your favorite character who has a hero card? And come on, it has to be Guff. Clearly the best character. I think Hat would agree there.
I don't even know if he's in my... He's not even my top three heroes, but I still love him.
Okay, so there's a lot of baked-in questions here. So first off, favorite hero card. Around the table. Joss?
I mean, it's kind of hard. I think, Bru Khan the best because I think he's powerful enough to see play, and I really enjoy the way he works. So, like, even though he's not the strongest of all of the ones that were released, I really like his design, and I like the way his hero power works after you've played him. So I think, yeah, he's my favorite, I think, out of all of them.
Rakan is a very cool design. Maybe my favorite design-wise. Hat, what about you? Favorite hero card?
Kurtris!
Kurtris. Okay.
So I like Scabs. However, Scabs is being used for evil. I like him in Quest Rogue, but he's really, really good in Garrote, because you know what Garrote needed is an unconditional board wipe, 5 life, and then a free prep every turn along with some chip damage. It didn't need that. I'm being sarcastic. It's too good in that deck, and that deck needs to be nudged down a little bit. Maybe nerf Octobot. It's time. Speaking as a rogue player, you can trust me. Don't trust rogues, but nerf Octobot. But I like Scabs a lot. Very good. Kurt's the one they have the most fun playing with, and one of the better ones. And I have a digression after this. I know that's surprising to everyone. I'll come back to me after I finish talking myself. You get it. But like, what I like about Kurt, besides the huge damage upside with Fellfire Deadeye, the 2-mana 2/3 from Dark Moon races that makes your hero power cost 1 less, besides that, and let me tell you, listeners that enjoy attacking, if you enjoy attacking, you owe it to yourself to coin out Kurtris with a Fellfire Deadeye and other minions in play. You owe it to yourself, because Kurtris has a hero power that says gain +2 attack every time you attack with a minion. Refresh this. Fellfire Deadeye says... your hero power costs 1 less. So You press the button, start of the turn, plus one attack. Coin out Kurt. Refreshes the hero power. Press the button. Attack with the two rushy boys. Each time you attack, press the button, press the button. Attack with the Fellfire Deadeye, press the button. If you have nothing else in play, that's nine damage that goes face. If there's something in the way, trade with the rushy boys. Face. If you're thinking about trading, probably just go face. There's also the combo with expendable performers. That's the 7-mana spell from Darkmoon Fair, which it fills your board with 1/1 rushy boys. And then when they die, you get another round of rushy boys. And if you have Fellfire Deadeye in play, that means you can go Deadeye performers and you get 6 times 2 is 12 times 2 is 24 plus the original hero power is 26. You can attack for 26, which is a big number. It's a large number. So I like attacking for 26, but usually attack for less than that. But even then, it's still enjoyable. And also, even if you just play to upgrade your hero power and then play for board, and then you attack a little bit more over time, really, really enjoyable. So, and also, I'm going to segue back to myself here. As a side digression, this is going to involve my soundboard. Yes, we're going in. What I love that the narrative team did, that just the content. Think about how big of a part the mercenaries are in Hearthstone now. That these are characters that we know. They've been through some shit. We've seen them go up and down in their Baron's versions, their quest versions, their hero versions. But something I didn't realize until very recently is that they have themes. Did you notice they have themes? So here, Kurtris Ashfallen in Baron's, when you play him, this is his stinger. When you play the version, when you finish the quest reward in Stormwind, this is my favorite. And then when you play the hero card, we've gotten to know these characters. We've come along with them. They have these thematic elements, the same voice actors, the same idea. The narrative arc, I feel invested and connected to them, and I've played Kurtris decks in every expansion so far, and I'm going to miss them.
That is fancy.
I did not notice a theme.
No, I did not notice that at all.
They all have them. Once. All
I do
10
play
of
with
them
Hearthstone basically themes. Muted, though.
Oh, I believe you. I do play Hearthstone pretty low volume. Yeah.
I'm going to fill up our Discord show chat with, you're each going to get, we're going to do the Brukhan bumpers and the Carrier bumpers in there so you can experience this with me. We're going to do that together as a group.
Nice, nice. Yeah. Well, my answer for favorite is Carrier, and it's not just because Paladin is cool, and I love Paladin, and Paladin. It's because Blessing of Queens like represents hope for me not to lose what makes me really excited and a fantasy I really love about Paladin, which is buffing my dudes. But in a way that isn't fucking Librams. it has just worked. Like everything about Carriel is cool. It is just so much Paladin flavor. You get a consecrate with a busted weapon that just saves your ass. But it really just comes back down to that Blessing of Queens. I love the design of this because I've mentioned before, one of my favorite things to play back when I was a Magic player was like Boros. I loved white red. I liked playing a lot of little dudes and then buffing them up. And this pseudo aggro, build bigger dudes from smaller dudes sort of play. I love that. And it took a really long time for Hearthstone to kind of nail that style, like in a way that you could actually win games with. They certainly tried for a while, but was to questionable success. And so Librem has like really, really just brought home like, yes, you can play a minion buffing deck and it'll work because Librems aren't a big risk. You aren't just constantly getting 2-for-1 because you got things like Wisdom that just go back to your hand. You can guess it again and yada, 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 yada. But I love the designs of Blessing of Queens that like there's this risk involved in that like, well, it's random, quote unquote random. If you only have 1 minion in your hand, you know where it's going. But it's already there. It's put on them in your hand. So you have to deploy them with this buff. So unless you're running charge minions, which you can't in Paladin yet, there's risk involved. So I like the whole design of that we're keeping this minion buffing theme alive, but in a very different way, that introduces a little bit more risk. I'm deploying this minion. It's already buffed up, and you're going to, in most cases, have at least time to answer it, whether you have an answer to it or not. So Cariel is just like keeping a archetype I love alive. And I think giving me a glimpse of a Librem-less future for Paladin. And so for all those reasons, I really, really like this card. As to what we hate, scabs. I hate scabs. I hate having shit put back to my hand. I hate losing to Rogue. I've always hated losing to Rogue, and scab makes me hate losing to Rogue.
Yeah, it's... Paladin has historically had trouble with Rogues and Mages. There aren't as many Mages right now. But the Rogues in particular are not what you want to see. And the worst matchup for Librem Paladin is Quest Rogue, because they keep bouncing your shit unless they kill it. And you don't really want either of those at the Paladin. You like your stuff alive and not bounced. So yeah, it's I like Quest Rogue.
Oh my god, audio listeners, you just missed the best hat smirk ever.
That was not a smirk, that was a shit-eating grin. That's what that was. That's what that was. Joss, what's your least favorite hero card?
Tamsin.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, Tamsin's, you are the voice of the people.
What did you just draw so many cards? She draws 3 cards. The hero power still draws cards, but you don't get hit in the face. I don't like Tamsin.
Warlock's a problem.
Plus she damages the minions and gets rid of all my stuff. Even my little stealthy puppies. They've done nothing wrong yet.
I love the admission the AMAs we covered last week that Warlock as a whole is problematic to design around. And then let's print a hero card that just takes away their downsides. Love it. Absolutely love it. And I'm not being facetious. I actually do love it. I love that they printed this card.
It's like, absurd. If this card costs 7, nobody would take it out of the deck. So it should probably cost 7.
I can't argue with that logic. And then finally, who on the team has had the most frustrations with... that was Rabble's follow-up. There's so many questions in Duplis's questions here. Also, like I ask, your favorite character who has a hero card has to be Gutgolf, of course. Are we talking of all time?
Maybe?
I think...
Is it bad that I don't remember all the Frozen Throne hero cards? I guess they're all just the originals, but Lichy.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely Death Knight Gul'dan. Like, Death Knight Gul'dan not only looked cooler than Gul'dan, who already looks cool, but brought back all of your demons and made your opponent concede. Like, what was not to love about that?
True. And then he got
playing against it. Playing against it was what not to love about that. Blood River Gul'dan.
I love sucking. So
yeah.
Oh boy, I'm just gonna scroll on real quick here. Blood River Gul'dan is my number one pick for card the modern Hearthstone balance team would nerf instantly that they never did back in the day. Easy number one. Ridiculous card. Zoo played this. The deck that plays double Doomguard and tops it at 5, it's like, I'll just throw in a 10 drop. It's fine. Because, you know, the battle cry was nuts, and then the hero power also won you games.
Joss, did you have a favorite?
I mean, probably a tie between Jaina and Uther, mostly because I just loved Uther's hero power and how you could just win the game. I thought that was really, really fun at the time, even though it was pretty meme-y and very combo-y and very specifically, you know, like everything had to work out in order for it to work. And then Jaina, I just really enjoyed playing playing decks with her hero power. I thought, you know, she was really fun as a Death Knight. But I am also definitely going to agree with chat room that I wish that there was like a Arthas or a Lich King, like had a hero card in that expansion. Even if it was like a neutral hero card, like I don't even know how you would make it, but it just like, I mean, he was a great minion, but you know, I want to be a Lich King.
I'm glad they went the way they did, because Arthas ended up being playable. as a minion, and and if you did a neutral hero, like you don't want to, if you're tasked with making a neutral Arthas hero card, I don't want that card to suck. The fans don't want that card to suck. We all want to play that card and want that card to be good.
Yeah,
as cool as the Sword of Thousand Truths are,
games where everyone
Regis Link. That is a one in a million. Like that card sucks. Like you're not winning games with that card. It's not a card you get to like interface with regularly because it's really, really hard to pull off. So yeah, I think going neutral minion was the better route because I'm not sure we all wanted to live in a world where all of us were just fighting Arthas at the end of every game.
What if there was like an Easter egg where the first person that played the Lich King turned into the Arthas Lich King, and then the second person that played the Lich King turned into Bolvar? How cool would that be?
Just listen, you're winning me over. I'm just trying to stay rational. You've won. I want your reality. I'm just trying to poke holes in the reason why there'd be.
Oh, I know there's 100 reasons why we didn't get a Lich King hero card. I'm just, yeah.
Wouldn't it have been worried so fun? About silly things like balance.
Yeah. Balance.
What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? Sketch Song wants to know what we're gonna do. Hat.
Sketch Song asks, currently, what do you do in the game when you have finished your quest? What modes are you playing? Or once you have done your quests, are you kind of done for the day? So it's important to note the moment in time this is being asked, the week after an expansion launches. Because a week ago, this would have been different. As of right now, I am done for the day when my phone runs out of battery in bed. Then I'm done. But until then, it's all standard all the time. If I were answering a week ago,
nobody tell Hat about chargers.
And I have a wireless charger specifically so that I don't play in bed while plugged in. I have to put the phone down. This is past Hat doing me a solid. So I do my standard quest, whatever, or like just play a bunch of standard. Do my mercs dailies. Occasionally, you know, make sure I catch up in my tavern brawl if I remember that mode exists, which I don't most weeks, but like some weeks I do. For a while it was either a couple weeks ago it was like do some BGs, but before that it was my couch iPad bed mode was duels, do a couple duel runs. But right now it's just like jam a bunch of standard. What about you two? Joss, what do you do? What's your jam?
I mean, it's kind of funny just the way that Sketch Song even laid out this question, because it's just not how I play Hearthstone. I play Hearthstone however I want to play Hearthstone. So if I log in and I want to play a BG round, I play a BG round. And if I want to play some standard, I play some standard. And I very rarely actually follow my quest. Like I don't hardly ever do my dailies. If I know that I want to go in and like say play Druid, then I'll take a look at my quests and I'll re-roll something if I don't have a Druid quest, and just hope I get one. And sometimes I do and I'm lucky, but if I don't, I'm just like, well, I want to go play Druid. I want to play my fun thing. And so usually I can finish like most of my quests just passively by playing how I want to play anyways. And if I don't finish my quest, then I just reroll them the next day into something that's like play battle cries or, you know, like draw X number of cards and the things that aren't necessarily tied to a specific mode or a specific deck, because I don't actually let my quests dictate how I play Hearthstone, because I find like the more like constricted or like structured my Hearthstone time becomes, the less I enjoy it. So I just go, how am I going to have fun? And then I go play the game. And if my quests get done, cool. And if they don't, I know I'm not min-maxing my rewards, but I'm having fun, which then in the end, I think I'm going to end up playing more and then, you know, getting to my rewards eventually. So,
yeah, I really only play standard in Battlegrounds, and for probably the last year and change, I only really get burnout on standard. So if I am in this mood, so there are times where I do quests to get quests done. Like, I'm like, all right, I got some standard quests. Let's go in and clear them out. And as soon as they're done, I retreat to Battlegrounds. This point in time, that is not one of those times. Everything's new, fresh. I have things to learn, even though I was stupid and forgot to pre-order and I'm playing old decks for the most part. Even the new Paladin deck I'm playing feels old. Which is another interesting perspective that going through this experience has given me that I never really thought of was, oh, when you just keep playing the like decks you're familiar with, it still feels very different because you're going up against new decks. And so even though you're piloting something that is like maybe old reliable, you're still having to think more than usual and adapt and really pay attention to what's going on. And it's been relaxing. So I know how to play Paladin, even with the sprinkling of new things. And I definitely know how to play Quest Warrior. And that's what I've been playing this week. And it has probably been the most relaxing launch I have ever experienced. Because I know my deck. And I just need to worry about learning theirs.
That is a very relaxing way to play.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, guys. I might just stop buying Hearthstone cards. This is really nice.
That's exactly what Team 5 wants to hear.
I'm sure that's what they want.
They want to hear that Garrett's experience as a longtime entrenched player is not dictated by how much money he spends, because the in-game economy is so rewarding that he doesn't even want to spend it and is still having a good time. That's what Team 5 wants to hear. At least the design department business doesn't listen to our show.
Whatever. They don't talk to people. I'm fairly convinced they're robots that make cold and calculated decisions. There's one last weird thing that did happen. I don't spend money on Battleground stuff because I think it's all too expensive, but because I forgot to spend money on stuff I usually spend money on, I really want that board. I really want that Battlegrounds board.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I want to support more boards being made, even if I don't think that board is all, like, it's whatever. It's fine. I think the idea.
Yeah, I was like, who's buying this? Like, I mean, I like my cosmetics that I can show off to other people.
Jeez, Josh, why don't you just drag me out in the street? Who's buying the what idiot in Florida would spend money on this thing?
No, I don't know. I haven't seen a lot of people talking about it. And, you know, like we've talked about them doing board cosmetics in the past, but it was a little bit too expensive for my taste. And no one else can see it. So
I'm not sure we've mentioned board cosmetics in 7 years. I think we talked about it the first year of Hearthstone and then they never did anything with it.
Well, I mean, we've talked about all different kinds of cosmetics, and I know we've talked about board cosmetics in the past. Anyways, it doesn't matter. Point is that it ended up being priced a little bit too high for me, so I didn't get it. And I was just kind of like, I wonder who's doing this. Because like I said, I like to show off. I like to flex a little, you know? So,
yeah, I didn't buy it. I had to save my money for skins that made my Hearthstone heroes into giant robots. So, you know, had to be frugal.
I don't understand wanting to flex at all. I don't have giant holes in my ears, and I definitely don't locate my car in a grocery store parking lot by just looking for the Dayglow blue. So, yeah, I don't know where you're coming from, Joss, as I navigate to the store and buy this board. So, yeah, thanks for your questions, everybody. There's some good ones this week, even if we kind of answered yours already, Rabble. Keep them coming. TACpodcast@gmail.com. And if you're a patron, skip the inbox entirely. Message us right there in the patron Discord. And speaking of which, thank you so much, patrons. If you're out there listening right now going, man, this is a fun episode. They made wiener jokes and one of them was dumb and it makes me feel better. I should give them a dollar or two so they remember to buy cards next time. Check out patreon.com/TAC where you can support the three of us for making this weird thing that we call the Angry Chicken. Huge thanks, by the way, to our Patreon producers, Declan H, Jeffrey D, and Dustin C. Two slots left on those producer slots. Go check it out over at patreon.com/TAC. If you want to get the back catalog of episodes, well, we're available everywhere you get your podcasts. I know you can stream them, by the way. Subscribe. Even if you're not going to listen for a while, download the episode. It helps us out.
Subtle.
Garrett's doing really weird things to his mic right now.
I was just grabbing it for effect. For effect. Yeah. Yeah. It's also over at youtube.com/amove2 if you want to catch the video archive and see our smiling faces. Joss raising an eyebrow when I misuse words. And you can follow the show on Twitter at TAC Podcast. We're live Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern-ish over at twitch.tv/amovetv. And other than that, around the table, Joss, where can folks find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch. I'm at Joss Plays, and I'm wearing my Extra Life shirt tonight to remind myself to say this Friday on twitch.tv/JossPlays is our last stream of the year. So if you guys haven't had a chance yet and you want to donate to the Children's Miracle Network of Hospitals, our team is still raising money until December 31st. So if you want to join us on Friday, we're going to be playing some Sea of Thieves and doing some fun holiday stuff. So do come and check that out again, twitch.tv/JossPlays. And if you'd like to donate, it's bit.ly/TGI Extra Life 2021. We still have some team members that have not hit their own personal goals. So as much as I would love donations, do feel free to donate to the other team members that are still a little bit below where they'd like to be. So yeah, that's it.
It's such a good cause. One couldn't be aggressive about it, but I'm going to be. Hadn't I already donated? What are you waiting for? Do it.
So aggressive.
I'm greens.
Like, please. And Garrett's like, metal, donate.
We're going to good cop, bad cop this. It's for the children.
Like Wu-Tang.
Exactly. We've said this before. Had where can folks find you?
Is it weird that we've said this before? You don't answer. That's a rhetorical question. You can find me at, don't find me, go to bit.ly/TGI Extra Life 2021. Go donate to Joss's friends because Joss is too popular already and her friends are jealous and impressed. And like, you want to just have them be impressed. So go donate. But also, if you're looking for me instead for some reason, you can find me at twitter.com/ridiculoushat. That is the hub of my air quotes content. But also, I'm on multiple other Hearthstone podcasts because I make poor decisions with my time, but also like talking to my other friends about Hearthstone in different ways. Over at coinconceit.com, we make the competitive side of the game more accessible to you. Tournament focus, educational focus, it's a good time. And then Vicious Syndicate, we take a data-driven look at the standard metagame over at viciouscyndicate.com. Garrett, where can people find you besides Florida parking lot with the baby blue, sky blue, whatever car
you have? Don't you dare say baby blue.
I don't know what kind of blue it is. I don't remember.
Nitrous blue. It is literally the paint code color. If you go to Ford and you want this color, it's nitrous blue.
Why would I do that or have any of that information?
I don't know. But how dare you call it baby blue? How dare you?
I just knew it was blue. I tuned out.
Anyways, I'm Garrett Art on Twitter. You can find me on there tweeting about all sorts of nonsense. I recently got a Xbox Series X that I'm very excited about and I'm tweeting about. You also might find me tweeting about Final Fantasy 14, which I am currently playing through for the first time, and I am documenting that entire experience. Well, not the entire experience, but I'm taking you through my experience and giving you my opinions on this game that has taken me away from more than a decade and a half of World of Warcraft over at youtube.com/amovetv. New uploads every single Wednesday morning. We're currently talking about a podcast and a second upload a week. But at the moment, one upload a week every Wednesday morning. It's about Final Fantasy 14. It's getting a rename tomorrow. I guess I can tell you. So it started as Nexus Gaming News. It's not a news show anymore because it's mostly just about Final Fantasy 14. We started calling it the Nexus Grind. We decided we didn't like that name, so we're rebranding it to Grinding Gear. It's just going to be called Grinding Gear.
Is the next episode going to be shorter than your queue time?
In the morning? No. At night, everything is shorter than that queue time.
Mm. Lord of the Rings Extended Edition is probably about the same.
That's a very good point. Yes. Yes, it is. So youtube.com/amovetv. Got a 5 weeks of Final Fantasy 14 documentation. You can watch me go from being like, I'll never play this game to being totally obsessed. Check it out. Gonna wrap it up for this episode of The Angry Chicken. Until next time, job's done.
Job's done.
Job's done.
Job's done.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.